This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is the Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, August 1st, 2012. We have a lot to do today. Going to start with the Olympic coverage. We'll get to a lot of baseball. Trade deadline, of course. I thought the Olympics command front attention because Michael Phelps yesterday became the most heralded medal winner in the history of the Olympics. He won his 19th medal overall, including 15 golds yesterday. He was the anchor leg in the 4x200 freestyle relay. He had a big lead going into the fourth and final leg. It's unusual for him to be the anchor, but he held the lead. He wins the gold. Again, an amazing accomplishment, hard to put it into context, except to say nobody in the history of the Olympic Games has won more medals than Michael Phelps. 19 overall, 15 gold, 2 silver, 2 bronze. Really incredible stuff. Again, hard to put into words what he's accomplished, but obviously he was pleased, classy guy, gave credit to his teammates, his coaches, his family, but it is really a stunning achievement when you think of all the greats in the Olympic Games. But Michael Phelps, now with 19 medals overall, the new all-time winning Olympic medal winner. And that was just one of a bunch of things. The women's gymnastics team won gold for the first time since 1996. Yes, they were the big favorites, but they did what they had to do. Oftentimes in the Olympics, you know all about the heartbreak. But yesterday, women's gymnastics wins the gold. Again, first time since 1996, and congratulations to them. Other things going on yesterday, Allison Schmidt wins a gold in the women's 200-meter freestyle. Missy Franklin, the 17-year-old high school student, just missed a medal, finished fourth. The U.S. women's soccer team beat North Korea 1-0 to go 3-0 in their bracket. Abby Wambach scored the only goal of the game. U.S. won, North Korea nothing. And finally, again, I don't want to say this as an afterthought, but the latest version, if you will, of the Dream Team probably played their weakest opponent yesterday. USA 110. Tunisia 63. Tunisia is the only team in the Olympics with no NBA players, so you knew this was going to be a romp. In fact, I heard someone during the game say the point spread was like 54. I can't believe they have 54-point spreads on Olympic games, but whatever. USA 110, Tunisia 63. Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Love, the high scorers, with 16 points apiece. Love with 6 rebounds. Durant, 13 points, 10 rebounds. Anthony Davis, the only college player, obviously the number one pick in the draft, but the only college player, maybe the equivalent of Christian Laettner on the 92 Dream Team. Anthony Davis with 12 points. That's essentially your Olympic highlights. But again, Michael Phelps leads the day, leads the news, leads the sports, kind of something that even transcends sports, even transcends the Olympics, frankly. So congratulations to him. In baseball, the trade deadline, as you know, was yesterday, July 31st, and there were 3 major moves. The Phillies, I think, waving the white flag. Again, they didn't have Chase Utley for most of the year. They didn't have Ryan Howard for most of the year. They're both back now, but I think they made a decision too little, too late. They didn't have Doc Halladay for a lot of the year. But yesterday, the Phillies send Shane Victorino to the Giants and Hunter Pence to Shane Victorino to the Dodgers, excuse me, and Hunter Pence to the Giants. Obviously, Pence with a little more pop than Victorino. But Philly doing now what they have to do to try and solidify their farm system, get some prospects. They do have excess outfielders. So Victorino now in a pennant race, or a division race, I should say, with the Dodgers, who are in that division race with the Giants. Hunter Pence goes to the Giants. One other big move, the Texas Rangers do get Ryan Dempster from the Cubs. Dempster's pitched very well this year. Not a number one, but certainly the best pitcher available. Is he a two? Is he a three? It almost doesn't matter. Texas actually a little short in the pitching department, especially when it was announced that Neftali Feliz now needs season-ending Tommy John surgery. And we talked about it earlier in the year. Texas taking a big gamble with Feliz. He was their almost lights-out closer last year, you'll recall. Wanted to make a switch to the starting rotation. Texas agreed. They gave him the chance. I'm not saying that's why he needs Tommy John surgery. You never quite know how these things come to play. But Feliz now, season-ending Tommy John. Ryan Dempster steps right into the rotation. And Texas really needs an ace to try and compete with the getting hot now Angels, who certainly have a fantastic pitching staff. So those are your three main trade deadline day deals: Victorino to the Dodgers, Pence to the Giants, Dempster to the Texas Rangers. Just one college football note. Now, you know, a lot's been going on with Penn State for the last few weeks, and most people announcing that their program is shattered, which I agree with. It's going to take them a long time before they're a national football power. Having said that, four or five of their top recruits are going to stay. But yesterday, Silas Red, and if you follow college football, you know Silas Red is an excellent running back, 1,241 rushing yards last season for Penn State, a guy who can move the chains. Well, he's decided to transfer to USC, play for Lane Kiffin. Now, Kiffin, of course, was an NFL coach, has NFL contacts. So Silas Red did announce his decision to transfer to USC. I don't know if he'll be branded a traitor or not. I think at this point, if you're a Penn State player who wants to play in a bowl game and or, frankly, wants to get to the NFL, you might be better off in another program, not because they're not going to have a good program at Penn State, but because it's going to take a few years. They're not going to be a very good football team, and even if they are, they cannot play in a Big Ten championship game or a bowl game. So Silas Red, the first, as far as I know, Penn State player to transfer from Penn State after all that's happened in the last few months. I'm going to switch now to baseball. Lots of games to get to. We'll start in the National League. Yesterday, the headline again has to go to A.J. Burnett of the Pirates, formerly of the Yankees, you know, almost run out of town by Yankee fans, just did not perform well in New York with a big contract. But yesterday, continuing his comeback player of the year, possible Cy Young candidate, A.J. Burnett takes a no-hitter into the eighth inning. In fact, he pitches 7 2/3 innings of a no-hitter before Adrian Cardenas gets a hit, just called up from the minors. If you saw the at-bat with two outs in the eighth inning, 1-2 pitch just missed inside, could have been a strike. 2-2 pitch just missed outside. Not as good a pitch as the one before in terms of being a strike, but, you know, some umps will give you that call. Then the next pitch, Cardenas lines a single to right field. Clean hit, no doubt about it. You could tell Burnett, who already has one no-hitter to his credit in his career, you could tell he was very upset. And I think he had a right to be. I think when you throw in a no-hitter, I thought he had earned the right. I watched the last, I think I found out in the sixth inning, I watched from the middle of the sixth, all the seventh, the eighth, till he gave up the hit, and even the ninth, because he came back and winds up throwing a one-hit shutout, complete game shutout. But I thought the 1-2 pitch could have been, and frankly should have been, called a strike. You got a guy who's got like seven major league hits against a guy who's having a Cy Young year. I thought he was getting that call on the same kind of pitch, even just an inning or two earlier in the sixth and the seventh. But in any event, doesn't matter. Cardenas gets the hit. Pirates 5, Cubs nothing. And again, A.J. Burnett, what can you say about him? 13-3. Pirates, the surprise team. He's 10 games over 500. The Pirates are 15 games over 500. Give them a lot of credit. You can make a case for McCutchen as the MVP. And you can make a case for A.J. Burnett as the Cy Young Award winner. McCutchen yesterday, just to give you a sense how great this guy's playing, 3-for-5. He's in a run scored. He's hitting .371. I mean, that's unbelievable. Neil Walker hits his 11th homer of the year for the Pirates. And again, the Pirates are real. Walker hitting 291 now, 5 RBIs yesterday. The Pirates are getting it from everywhere, 59-44, 15 games over 500. Who'd have thunk it? The Cubs, 43-59, going nowhere. You know, can Theo Epstein turn it around? Remains to be seen. But yesterday it was all about, surprisingly to me, after watching him in New York, it's all about A.J. Burnett and his one-hit shutout to move to 13-3. Another interesting game yesterday, Phillies. I said they threw up the white flag yesterday, and I believe they did. But they showed the Nationals beating Steven Strasburg yesterday. Phillies 8, Nationals nothing. Phillies get 2 in the second, 1 in the third, 3 in the fourth. Strasburg, not a good night for him. And, you know, the Nationals announced that they are going to stop with Strasburg. The Nationals now 20 games over 500 at 61-41. Phillies 46-57, so they're, you know, 15.5 games behind the Nationals and still well out of the wild card as well. But the Nationals, you know, they have a fantastic team. Only 5 hits for them yesterday. Give Cliff Lee credit. He only gets his second win of the year. Again, hard to believe. Cliff Lee, August 1st, 2 wins. But that's just another story. The Phillies, no Halliday for a long time. As we discussed, you know, just no right side of the infield for most of the season. No Utley, no Howard yesterday. You know, Utley goes 1-for-4, he's hitting 236. Howard goes 1-for-4, he's hitting 217. They just came back too late to make a run. Phillies 8, Nationals nothing. But again, to me, just a one-game reprieve for the Philadelphia Phillies. Out on the West Coast, Tim Lincecum, who needs to finish strong to make the Giants an NL West winning team. The Giants obviously in the battle with the Dodgers now. Tim Lincecum gets the win yesterday. It looked like the Lincecum of old. I was able to watch that game. Lincecum against the Mets, 7 innings, 6 hits, 1 run earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. But he's still 5-11. With a 5.62 ERA, but he does pitch well and get the win yesterday. Giants 4, Mets 1, Giants 56-47, Mets trying to stay relevant, 50-54. Again, Lincecum moves to 5-11. Jeremy Affeldt gets the 2-inning save, his second of the year. The Mets brought up their latest pitching phenom, Matt Harvey, who pitched great last week in his first start. He pitched very well yesterday. 6 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, only 2 earned. He does take the tough luck loss. He's 1-1 with a 1.59 ERA. Matt Harvey, pitcher of the future for the Mets. No home runs in the game. Marco Scudero, 2-for-3 with a run scored and an RBI. The hitting star, if you will, for the Giants. Giants 4, Mets 1. Scott Hairston 2-for-4 with a run scored. There were some thoughts the Mets were going to trade Hairston or trade somebody, but they decided not to. Maybe they were going to trade Burdick, the lefty reliever, but they decided not to. Apparently they couldn't get what they wanted. Mets obviously are not going to catch the Nationals. The Nationals are a very good team. They're 20 games over 500. The Mets, 4 games under 500. Trying to stay relevant in the wild card race, but they're really going to have to pick it up now. Obviously, Santana on the DL. Dickey's been good, but not great. Matt Harvey, if he can give you quality starts like this, well, then the Mets have a chance to remain relevant, but they're taking a lot of criticism in New York for making no moves, either at the trade deadline now, yesterday, or frankly in the few weeks prior to the trade deadline, where a lot of people thought they could have made a move for a reliever or somebody, again, to stay relevant. A few other games in the National League to discuss. Reds 7, Padres 6, Reds at 62-41. Marshall gets the win, he's 4-3. Jason Marquis takes the loss, he's 4-6. Chapman gets his 22nd save of the year. Phillips hits his 13th. Ludwig hits his 18th. Frazier hits his 12th. All for Cincinnati. For San Diego, Maben hits his 5th home run of the year. Reds 7, Padres 6. A couple of other games quickly in the National League. Brewers 10, Astros 1. Gallardo gets the win. He's 9-8. Kutchel takes the loss. He's 1-4. Ramirez hits his 13th for Milwaukee. Hart his 20th. Snyder his 5th for Houston. Cardinals beat the Rockies 11-6. Carlos Beltran, what can you say? Met fans are crying. Beltran with his 24th of the year. Holiday with his 19th. Freeze with his 15th. Colorado gets a home run from Rutledge, his 3rd. Kyle Loesch gets the win. He's 11-2. Francis takes the loss. He's 3-3. One final game in the National League. Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers 8-2. Miley gets the win. He's 12-6. Capuano takes the loss. He's 10-7. Paul Goldschmidt with his 15th of the year for Arizona. Miguel Montero with his 12th of the year. Ellis with his 4th of the year for the Dodgers. That's the National League. We'll get to the American League in a couple of minutes right after this short break. We'll get to the standings as well. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion. Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. Switch to the American League now. Now, the interesting race, I think, is going to be in the AL West, Angels and Rangers. The Angels, of course, pick up Greinke yesterday. The Angels in Texas, they beat the Rangers 6-2. Angels now 57-47. Rangers 59-43. I think the Angels are a better team now. Yesterday, Albert Pujols waking up, two home runs, his 19th and 20th of the year. 20 home runs, 67 RBIs, hitting 284, which means, you know, he was horrific the first four or five weeks of the year. So he's really hitting the ball well now. 2 for 5, 2 RBIs, 2 runs scored, including those 2 homers. Give him credit. Trout, what can you say? The rookie center fielder batting leadoff. Not only is he the rookie of the year, he might be the MVP of the American League. He was 2 for 4. With 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs, including his 18th home run of the year, he's hitting .353 and an unbelievable defender in center field. Weaver gets the win. Talk about Cy Young candidates. Jeff Weaver, 14-1. Holland takes the loss. He's 7-6. Angels, 6. Rangers, 2. 4 of the top 5 guys in the Angels order with 2 hits. Trout, we told you about. Torrey Hunter, 2 for 5, 2 RBIs. He's hitting .286. Pujols and Howie Kendrick, 2 for 4. And Trumbo, who got no hits yesterday as the DH, having an unbelievable year, hitting .301 with power. For the Rangers yesterday, the top 4 guys were 0 for 16, Kinsler, Andrus, Beltre, and Nelson Cruz. Obviously, that's what Jeff Weaver can do. Hamilton, Josh Hamilton, has been in the slump for over a month, 1 for 4 yesterday. Texas is going to have to pick it up, frankly, even though they still have a 3-game lead. We'll get to the standings in a little bit, but the Angels are coming, and everybody knows it. The Orioles, I think, sending a message to the Yankees. A, we're good. B, you haven't walked away with a division. In just a bizarre game yesterday, the Yankees, Tillman against Nova. Nova given a 5-0 lead as the Yankees score 5 off of Tillman in the first. Buck Showalter leaves Tillman in the game. With 2 outs in the top of the second, the Orioles score 7 runs off of Ivan Nova. I mean, just a bizarre game. 5-0 Yankees after 1, 7-5 Orioles after 2. Orioles wind up winning the game 11-5. Yankees not playing well at all. Natives getting a little restless in New York. 3-7 now in their last 10. But more importantly, the Orioles cut the lead to 5.5 yesterday. If they can win today and sweep the Yankees, it'll be 4.5. And what was just a 9.5 game lead like 10 days ago will now be cut more than in half if the Orioles beat the Yankees this afternoon, I should say, not tonight. Orioles 11, Yankees 5, Orioles 55-49, Yankees 60-43. Tillman hangs on to get the win. Give him credit. They left him in the game. He shut down the Yankees after that. Tillman moves to 4-1. Nova drops to 10-5. You know, lots of highlights here offensively. Davis hits a grand slam, his 18th of the year. Nick Markakis hits his 10th. Robinson Cano for the Yankees hits his 23rd homer of the year. Markakis batting leadoff now, 3 for 5 with 2 runs scored and 2 RBIs. Has his average up to .292, a very good professional baseball player. Jones, 2 for 5 as well with 2 runs scored. He's hitting .291. And as we said, Markakis and Davis with the home runs. Davis with the 4 RBIs. DH yesterday batting third. He's hitting .262 for the Yankees. Give Jeter credit. Started off like a house of fire. Dropped all the way down, I think, from like 400 to .299. But now solid. 3 for 5 yesterday, batting .312. Give him credit. Grandison still in the 240s, 1 for 5 yesterday. Cano batting .309, including that home run. Swisher back off the DL, 1 for 4. The Yankees, I think, have some issues. I think Ichiro has a hit in every game, but I think he's .250 as a Yankee. I think he's 1 for 4 every game. He's played like 9 games for the Yankees. I think he's been 1 for 4 in every game. There's a debate whether they should move Ichiro up. Apparently the Yankees are sticking, you know, leaving him down the bottom of the order, maybe less pressure. You know, Ichiro is not Ichiro, but again, he's gotten a hit in every game. As a Yankee, I believe that's a 9-game hitting streak he has now. Another wacky game yesterday, Tigers at the Red Sox. You know, the Red Sox take a 4-1 lead, and in the top of the sixth, the Tigers load the bases. And with the bases loaded in the top of the sixth, down by 3 and still batting, the umpires brought out the tarp and eventually called the game. Apparently, the Tigers officially protested the game. Again, it's hard to believe that with the bases loaded, you don't have time for one more batter. They showed, I mean, it was raining hard, but it was raining hard the whole inning, so they should have even stopped it after five, not allow the Tigers to get the bases loaded and threaten, or try and play through that inning. But in any event, as of now, it's an official game, but the Tigers did protest. Red Sox 4, Tigers 1. Mortensen gets the win. He's 1-0. Justin Verlander not only takes the loss at 11-7, but, you know, Verlander had that incredible streak of, I think it was like 63 games in a row of throwing six or more innings. Yesterday, he only threw five innings. Now, would he have come out for the sixth inning had there been no rain delay? I would think so, but you never know. But yesterday, Verlander, five innings pitched, three earned runs, six strikeouts. He takes the loss. Beckett started the game for Boston, but he left in the third with a back spasm. That's why Mortensen came in and got the win. They give Morales a save in that situation, which is really interesting, you know, in the sixth inning. But Boston trying to stay relevant. Red Sox 4, Tigers 1. Red Sox now two games over 500 at 53-51. Tigers four games over 500 at 54-50. We'll see what happens with the protest. Hard to believe they'll question an umpire's judgment. It just does sound like a bad time to call a game, though, when the team losing by three runs does have the bases loaded. Rays in the wild card hunt. Shut out the Athletics, the Athletics' hottest team in baseball. But the Rays had big game. James Shields not traded. Some thought he would be traded. Shields goes a complete game, shuts out the Athletics on three hits. Rays 8, Athletics nothing. Rays 54-50, Athletics 56-47. No home runs in the game, but B.J. Upton 2-for-5 with two RBIs. The only guy with two hits. For Tampa Bay, but a lot of help all around. Jennings 1-for-5 with an RBI. Zobrist 1-for-5 with an RBI. Kepinger hitting 316, 1-for-3 with an RBI. Sean Rodriguez, the shortstop, 1-for-3 with an RBI. So they kind of spread the wealth yesterday. 11 hits. Only Upton had more than one hit. He was the only guy in the game for Oakland. Only three hits. Weeks, Carter, and Kataris, the catcher, all with singles, but a rare bad game now for the Athletics. However, they're still in the mix. We'll get to the standings in a minute. They're still in the mix at 56-47. A couple of other games quickly. White Sox beat the Twins 4-3. White Sox 56-47. Twins dropped to 44-59. Royals beat the Indians 8-3. Hotchever gets the win 7-9. Derek Lowe takes the loss. He's 8-10. The Indians starting to drop out of it at 50-53. And finally, the Mariners beat the Blue Jays 7-2. Vargas gets the win. He's 12-7. Laffey takes the loss. He's 2-2. Dustin Ackley with his seventh of the year for Seattle. The Blue Jays starting to drop out of it at 51-52. If you're at 500 or below in the AL East, that's not going to get it. Looking at the standings quickly, let's start in the National League. As we talked about, the Nationals 61-41, a 2.5 game lead over the Braves. The Mets, the Marlins, and the Phillies have all dropped out of it now. Mets 50-54, trying to get back in it. Again, I think the Phillies waved the white flag yesterday by trading Victorino and Pence. In the Central, a very competitive division, obviously. Cincinnati, 62-41. They're doing this with no Joey Votto. Dusty Baker has to be at least considered for Manager of the Year, as does Davey Johnson, of course, of the Nationals. The Pirates also, Clint Hurdle doing an unbelievable job, 59-44, three games out. Cardinals, 55-48, seven games out. Again, if you're under 500 in this division, the Brewers, the Cubs, the Astros, you are out of it. The Giants, 56-47, now have a one-game lead over the Dodgers, 56-49. That's two in the loss column. The Diamondbacks trying to climb back in, 53-51, 7-3 in their last 10, 3.5 games behind the Giants. Padres and the Colorado Rockies, long out of it. Over in the American League now, Yankees 60-43, coming back to the field a little bit, 5.5 in front of the Orioles, 6.5 in front of Tampa Bay, 7.5 in front of the Red Sox, who are two games over 500. Again, Toronto, one game under 500, really too far to come, in my opinion. In the Central, the White Sox lead at 56-47. They have a 2.5-game lead over the Tigers, who are 54-50, obviously 3 in the loss column. Cleveland starting to drop out of it at 50-53, 6 games out. Minnesota, 12 games out. Kansas City, 13.5 games out. And I think the most interesting division from a race perspective, with three excellent teams now, the Rangers holding on to first, 59-43. The Angels beating the Rangers yesterday, four losses behind in the loss column, 3 games out of first. Oakland, 56-47, 7-3 in their last 10. They're 3.5 games behind the Rangers and obviously in the hunt for the wild card. The Mariners, pretty much all over for them. They're 49-57. Quickly now to the TV today. Major League Baseball regional coverage on the MLB Network at 1, either the Orioles at the Yankees or the White Sox at Minnesota. Pirates at Chicago, WGN, the national channel, 210. And tonight, the ESPN game, Tigers in Boston to play the Red Sox. The Olympics, of course, virtually all day on NBC. Again, almost all day, 10 to 5, 8 to midnight, even 12:30 to 1:30 in the morning, and also on a bunch of other NBC-related networks, the NBC Sports Network, you know, Bravo, MSNBC. It's on like everywhere, the Olympics, on the NBC family of channels. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.